Okay. Jump into the first few items. So it looks like the package renaming is complete, thanks to Aaron. I think the security stuff and the merging all got wrapped up last week. Is that true, Aaron? Anything outstanding on that?
No, I think it's done. Everything seems to work. And, yeah, all the Fessel stuff had been renamed in there, so I think it's good to go.
Cool. Well, thanks for that. It's good that we got that out of the way at the beginning of this process. I'll be modifying my branch of Chris Beer's contribution to match that pretty soon. That's the Memento compatibility. Actually, as I was looking at the branches, it looks like we've got quite a few out there. Just a side note, that I think could probably use some cleanup. Well, I know a few of them could, but I'll be going through that probably this afternoon and just pinging people on some of the outstanding branches that are still there. Because normally, you know, when we're done with a branch, we just delete it because that's intended to be just work in process. All right, so on to Fedora Custom DB. So I wanted to bring this up in today's meeting because I don't think we've collectively really made a call on what to do about this. So this, to refresh people's memory, you can go to the link, but the short version is that this is a contribution that Lodewijk Bogaerts made, and he did a presentation at Oxford about it, and what it is basically a way to get a database, a relational database, populated with information synchronously as objects are added to Fedora. So I think everybody who was able to attend the Oxford meeting got to see this. And Asger and I got an email from Lodewijk just this last week asking about what the determination was on this. And I wrote back a little bit, but I just wanted to share some of my general feelings on this. But I wanted to kind of open it up and talk with the group about maybe what we do about this at large. So I guess my gut feeling about this one was this is an interesting and quite possibly useful to a lot of people kind of piece of work. And the reason I say that is populating a database with some of this information seems to be a pretty popular thing to do, you know, to populate a relational database with information that's in any kind of archive for data mining purposes or any kind of custom interface that people want to build on top of their repository. So in general, the functionality offered here seems like it's pretty valuable. My feeling on how it's integrated with Fedora is it doesn't seem like it's really it belongs as part of the core of the repository service. So, you know, thinking through possible ways of doing this, I asked Lodewijk if he had considered using messaging for something like this. And his response was that he certainly did, but felt like for his use case, and I've heard this from other folks too, getting synchronous updates was very important. So getting the database updated by the time the Fedora operation is complete was important. And we've talked about this trade-off before. Part of the reason I asked that was not only the thinking about asynchronous updates, but also just the messaging gives us an opportunity to decouple this kind of functionality from the core repository. I feel like this is worth sharing with other folks out in the Fedora community, but I'm nervous about taking it on as part of the core, at least. The implication is it would be something that this team would be responsible for maintaining in the future. So the dilemma is how to offer this up to other people without integrating it into the core, and assuming that the synchronous updates of some database is a valid case. So that's kind of where my mind is at with this. As you guys saw Lodovig's presentation in person, did you have similar thoughts or different thoughts? Anybody?
I have given this subject some thought. I'm Asger, if you couldn't hear it on the voice.
Yep.
I've given the subject some thought. What Fedora has at the moment is a way of doing asynchronous updates to various databases and caches. What it does not have is a way of doing synchronous updates. This seems to be a requested functionality, as you said. What I feel would probably be a better solution than Lodovic's idea is to make a standard entry point for attaching synchronous databases of any kind to Fedora. Simply having one class that's called with every time an operation or a change is performed, it's called with the information that's changed.
Yeah.
And then allowing people to use a decorator like pattern or something like this is the list of implementations of this class. Each of them are called.
Right. So some sort of kind of a messaging, or not even messaging, but a notification or Dan, you and I have talked about this pattern before too, right? When things are put into the repository, that people could plug in really, you know, what they want, and it's not hard coded which indexes things get thrown off to.
Right.
I forget what you referred to it as at the time, but.
I'm sorry. I'm spacing because I started immediately going down the other line, which was the introduction of Spring provides the tooling necessary to do this in a very elegant fashion.
Yeah. So that's one of the technologies we could employ to do it. And it also reminds me of something that actually maybe Aaron can give us a little a quick intro to. But Aaron's been thinking about a high-level storage interface to talk about at the London meeting in more detail. But Aaron, I was just going to ask Aaron, does this kind of match with the interface you're thinking of in terms of, I mean, that's what immediately popped into my mind.
Well, yeah, well, it's sort of in the sense that, this wouldn't explicitly be dealt with by the interface that's presented, but, you know, that proposal basically have you know, a layer in the repository where it, you know, something like this would it would clearly exist in this particular layer, you know, and you know, you know, kind of like as an add-on or a module or what have you. And I think, I mean, going back to what Asker said, you know, I think that, you know, the current field search and resource index kind of fall along the same lines of, you know, because right now this I believe their implementation of this I forget what it's called is an extension of field search as it is right now, and field search is synchronous, kind of hardwired in the DO manager. So if we can sort of, you know, kind of create more, you know, a bit more separation of concerns and levels, then it would be kind of a little more clearer where or where not this should be put and how it can be plugged in and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I would like to amend what Aaron said. It was Aaron, right?
Yes.
That both the messaging and the triple store is actually quite good use cases. The triple store being a store that could be updated either synchronously or asynchronously. And messaging actually could be considered as a store that could be updated asynchronously.
Mm-hmm.
Or synchronously. Then you could have clients listening for the messages, but the messaging itself is a store that you update. So Fedora basically is a modification interface, and these sets of synchronously and asynchronously indexes and caches.
Yeah.
That's a vision me and Core has developed for Fedora, and we've been talking about it for some time. I was actually looking forward to talk to some of you guys about it at our next London meeting, but it seems that we are ahead of schedule.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we could... we've got a few other things to cover here, and I think that that would be really a really good discussion topic for London, as well as the proposal that Aaron has come up with, and you know, comparing notes on some of these thoughts. But it sounds like several of our heads are in the same space on this, and that just architecturally is that you know, Fedora shouldn't be hard coding updates to specific systems. Examples being the resource index, field search, etc. But in doing that, we can offer an opportunity for people to add their own custom modules that update whatever index in whatever way they choose. Now, there's common one common one that it seems to make sense to offer out of the box is messaging. As one module that's plugged in that way, but you know, it seems like things like this custom DB module would be, you know, if we had the system set up in that way, that would be the easy answer to this. Would be, you know, this is great to share with folks, and you know, we want to encourage you to do that, but it doesn't. Until we get a lot of people using it and demanding it, it's probably not something that's a default function of the repository.
No, but without having this plugin-like functionality, it's not easy for Ludovic to share this functionality with us because they have to build from source.
Exactly.
Giving him the plugin functionality, it would just become an additional, what's it called? Software stuff. For Fedora.
Yeah. So we don't want to grow. I mean, we don't want to grow in this way, and that's part of the reason we've talked about not only this particular architecture of plugging into different kinds of stores, but the module architecture in general is another thing that's trying to gnaw at this problem.
Oh, I actually have an interesting idea I would like to share with you. What if we regarded the storage module itself as our index to be synchronously updated?
Yeah. It's interesting. I guess the question is, I mean, the thing that immediately comes to mind there is all the other stores we've talked about, there's a way of putting the data in. And the obvious additional requirement of low-level storage or high-level object storage is that we can get the stuff out, too. So there's additional interface stuff there besides just send this in or delete it from the index. It's get this thing from that store. It seems to kind of fit, but I think we'd have to resolve how that one is fundamentally, is it fundamentally distinct from the others? How close is it? If we can borrow the same pattern for that and others, then I think that would be ideal.
I think we can borrow the same pattern, but we might actually have to make one interface for storing things and one interface for getting things. That would also cause it all to be able to exist in the odd situation of storing things in one database but getting them from another.
Mm-hmm.
And having some synchronization between those two behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So I do think, in with regard to, I think what Aaron was saying, that if this function was part of an elaboration of that, if the field search module role instead was basically like a SQL index module instead of a and just phrase it a little bit differently, it kind of feels right to me that something like this could be an alternative implementation of that module role and then could also be distributed as a binary in the incubator space. And then if there was a lot of uptake for it, then you could pull it into the core distribution. That might be I don't know if that's a shorter term approach or a more difficult approach.
Yeah, well, I mean, that to me that sounds like ideally, you know, what we'd want is to allow people to distribute these kinds of contributions in binary form, and not necessarily, try to manage all these kinds of contributions in one central team. And that's part of what the whole Fedora Create idea is about too, is this kind of innovation should be happening without having to so tightly couple these things with the core repository service, and not only software wise but community wise that can happen in a less tightly controlled way.
There is at least in the current code base, I mean, I think the closest thing we have to enable this kind of contribution in say, you know, binary form, there's this whole building of a proxy chain of decorators in the management module. I mean, so this is how messaging actually works. And at least at the time, there was the idea that, you know, this could be extended to support, I mean, to even refactor things like journaling to fit into this pattern so that, you know, you basically just add something to your FCFG and then you could just drop in the jar that has the classes that are referred to. And, I mean, I know at least, I can't remember the other, someone's contributed something following this pattern as well. But, I mean, I didn't really think of this when we were first talking about Litovic's work, just because I think, you know, we were sort of thinking further ahead to how we would, you know, deal with plugins and modules. And, you know, we sort of had a a different longer-term vision for it. But I mean, in terms of how we would accommodate something like this right now, actually, I mean, it seems like this would be, you know, I mean, someone can basically just add a, it's functionally like a decorator to management, as long as they're, you know, as long as it's just something that can be encapsulated in management, which at least in this case it is.
It can, but then it's interesting. I mean, I think this pattern of being able to plug in maybe a set of delegates or targets for each for these kinds of operations could actually be this pattern could actually be used at the management level as we've got it defined today, or the I guess the analogous thing right now is DO, what's happening in DO Manager, but that's, you know, kind of gets into Aaron's proposal that there's some higher level storage. There's really a higher level storage abstraction, and it's about making modifications to digital objects. But it strikes me that there's a difference here too, that management is concerned with fulfilling API operations in Fedora as we've defined them. And it's pretty well related with the API or APIs we've got on top of Fedora. So it even has convenience methods like, you know, add relationship. So it feels like, I mean, I agree that this could be plugged in at the management level, but for the kinds of things that Lodovic is doing, actually something where he can just see like that a digital object has changed and re-index it might be a more ideal plug-in point than, you know, add this relationship, because then he has to pull it apart and figure out what that means in terms of what he's indexing.
Maybe this kind of operations could also be done using cross-cutting concerns, specifically AspectJ. So I think there are many use cases where this could be used.
Well, that's what I was suggesting is when you're talking about just the Java, let's just consider the Java code base, is that these patterns and tooling are pretty well established right now, AspectJ being a part of it, Spring. I know that Bill and Andrew are used on the call here now.
Yes, we are.
I mean, we're talking about patterns and methods inside of a servlet container that exist. These are not Fedora-specific things. Fedora gives its own interesting twist, but this was kind of what was proposed for 4.0, was to begin re-architecting to include these other methods.
Yeah.
Dependency injection, you know, what have you.
Yep. So I guess the issue at hand is, you know, what to do about Lodovic's contribution for the time being. Eddie and I had a short discussion on this yesterday, also because we were starting just talking about a little bit about OSGI and how, in general, having a better defined module architecture would help deal with things like this. So one of the ideas that came up then, which I'm still a little uncomfortable with, but I don't want to turn Lodovic off either, was the idea that we would actually take in the contribution because of the way it has to be done right now as a tightly coupled thing, with the understanding with Lodovig that that we would eventually treat this as, you know, an optional module in Fedora that that could be a great example of how we intend to allow people to plug in. So that's a bit of it makes me a little uncomfortable because I'm not sure how much we want to take on extra code before we actually start shifting things around for updating the module architecture.
Chris?
Yeah.
So I just glanced at this code like for 15 minutes this morning. So, I mean, my understanding might be a little bit muddled by my limited exposure to it. But my understanding was that currently it's implemented basically as a modification to the field, the SQL field search implementation module, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
Plus some additional classes. Is that true or false?
That's the impression I have too, though I haven't dug through the code.
So, I mean, if they wanted to, wouldn't it be possible to distribute that just as a jar? And you know, if I recall correctly, like the which class implements the field search is specified in the Fedora.fcfg. You know, and if that's really the only hook it has into the, you know, into the main code base, it might be possible to, you know, for them to just distribute this as, you know, a jar and with instructions to modify the Fedora.fcfg. Maybe that's a little bit too simplistic, but, you know.
Well, if that, if it's really that simple, unfortunately, I wasn't able to get the diffs. Well, I didn't invest enough time to get the diffs between his. It looks like what he attached there was a full copy of the source code. So
yeah, I didn't get the diffs either. I just sort of took a quick glance at how I thought they might have implemented it and made a few assumptions.
Yeah.
So I know they did modify the field search SQL module thing and to add a statement to update the special databases. But as far as any other hooks into the code, I don't know. But if that's the only one, it might be possible for them just to, you know, ship a jar.
Yeah. I wonder if it's possible to have their jar still fulfill to have this functionality still fulfill the needs of field search fully, because I guess I'd have to dig in a little further to understand, but field search also has a getting, you know, a sort of a get function, which is required to support a few things, but I don't know that this has that requirement. Right. My understanding of this was the intent was just to populate a SQL database and then how you actually query the thing was sort of an exercise for the reader.
Yeah. You know, but, you know, what I was saying is that basically in DL Manager where, you know, field search gets its hands on the object, you know, that's they basically just, you know, inserted like a single line, you know, in the field search module code, which reflects on the object coming in to update the databases.
Yeah.
I don't know about the outgoing parts or anything. I mean, that's the only place I know where they touched anything as far as that's concerned.
Okay. So,
for the time being, would you want to implement a listener pattern right about there and people could add listeners in the code?
Well, I don't know.
Well, I wasn't even talking about implementing anything there. I mean, because you can insert alternate field search SQL implementation class in the Fedora FCFG, you know. So in that way, they would be able to distribute this to others, and, you know, nothing would have to happen in the Fedora code base, you know, for the time
being. That's true.
It sounds deceptively simple.
Yeah, I know. I know. Exactly.
That's the approach I was trying to advocate a little bit earlier, is this is just to say, if it satisfies that module requirement or something like it, then this seems like a really good candidate for the Fedora Create application space, in which, you know, we just, the source is maintained there and you can distribute it as a jar, or you can build it from source, and I don't know. That seems like a natural fit.
So if it does plug in that simply, then that seems pretty like a pretty reasonable thing to come back with Lodvig with and say, you know, here's a way that you can get other people using this, and by the way, you know, we're planning on having the way that this stuff hangs together be a little better designed in the future. So ideally, when we reach that point in time, we want to make sure you're in sync with those changes.
So Chris, are you saying that one of us should basically take a look at their submission and see if it's possible to do this, to do it this way and get back to that?
Yeah, exactly. So if it's possible just to write a different subclass or a different implementation of field search interface that's basically equivalent but has that extra code hook in it, then that seems like the logical way to do it in a non-intrusive way. Does that make sense? I mean, just kind of echoing
totally,
what you said.
I agree with that. That would be the good approach for now. If we could get Lodovic to send the diff, it would save some of us some time in checking what he actually did.
Yeah. Even the diff against 3.2.1 or whatever, I think that's what he gave it. But, yeah. Okay, so we'll ask if he's got a diff, if he can send us a diff. Tell him one of us is going to look at it further. Anybody want to dig into it? Anybody on this call? Or we'll just...
Well, I sort of have some contact with him already. It could easily be me that dug into this. Put it in some notes, because otherwise I'll forget it. So,
sure. I'll log it on the wiki.
Yeah, I think just maybe ask him to, like, just attach the diff to, like, the JIRA issue or something.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm just going to put this action in the IRC. Good. Thanks for the thoughts on that one. I think we came to a good conclusion on the next step for that. Moving right along, Eddie mentioned. Oh, Eddie, you have two items. So you want to start those?
Sure. So for FC repo 496, the reason I stuck this on the agenda was right after we put out Breed 3, I was working on getting Fedora running on WebLogic. And one of the, I eventually got 3.2.1 running on WebLogic with a handful of changes to both Fedora and some WebLogic config stuff. And then when I tried 3.3 against WebLogic, I was getting a bunch of failures basically on the integration test, mostly to do with some sort of XML parsing errors. And I was able to track it down to the changes that were made as part of FC Repo 4.96 when we swapped out Xerces. So we swapped out Xerces in place of the JRE provided parsers in the com sum whatever package. And so basically, I'm trying to figure out what's the right thing to do here. You know, on the one hand, we're not supposed to be using, you know, classes out of the com sun packages anyway. At least, you know, it's not really recommended behavior. And actually, it's actually sort of two levels of wrong, because if you actually go and track down the actual classes of the Xerces that the com sun classes are actually implements, those are actually now deprecated in Xerces. So it's like we're using, you know, the com sun versions of deprecated classes. And on the other hand, you know, this that's sort of like a maybe more of a pedantic point to make about whether or not we should be using these classes versus the, you know, apparently very real problem of these permgen problems that, you know, Kai was able to track down. But in any case, you know, I mean, you know, Fedora is supposed to run in any servlet container. So we, you know, even if what we all typically test on is Tomcat, so I feel like we're sort of, you know, we're sort of violating that bit of our contract. And then, you know, there appears to be some sort of ill-advised practice going on with the implementation classes that we're using. But I'm not really sure what to do, and I wasn't quite sure how to actually duplicate the problems to see if, you know, there's some alternative way we can go after this, if there is some way to still use Xerces. There are actually alternative ways we can do some of this XML serialization that actually don't even use Xerces, but it's like I feel like we don't have sort of enough, or at least I don't have enough information to sort of make sure that the changes I'm making aren't, you know, going to cause a regression as far as these permgen errors go. So I kind of just wanted to put it out to the group as far as, you know, what people think would be the right way to sort of go after this.
Well, Eddie, looking at the issue and following some of the references that Kai had come up with, a couple of questions come to mind for me is, is the Xerces class loader issue still a problem with Tomcat 6? And, is it the recommendations that are in those links? I'm kind of wondering how up to date those are, or whether those still hold for our existing environment, which is at least now we're requiring Java 6 for the next revision of Fedora, but also the latest version of Tomcat. And it seems like to me that for testing purposes, we would want to ensure that no matter what web app, what servlet container Fedora is running under, that it's using the same version of the library that we test and develop against. So relying on something in the local environment seems like, in general, you know, we'd want to avoid that unless there's a really good reason.
Right. I mean, I don't know the answer to Tomcat 6 question. I haven't tried it against Tomcat 6. Looking at Jira, it looks like, though, as far as the Java 6 part goes, I mean, Kai looks like his environment was using Java 6 when he did his testing. So.
Yes, I don't know about Tomcat 6, how the class loader has changed. Maybe the problem is gone. But
yeah.
Apart from that, we could certainly use another method of serializing without resorting to the console classes. That should be done anyway.
Yeah, I mean, actually, it's funny. I mean, the move to Java 6 makes some of this a little easier. So at least in my working copy, when I was sort of playing around with alternatives to the way we were doing serialization, I mean, there's this DOM implementation LS sort of method for doing serialization that's supposed to be the recommended way now that, you know, like the output format and serializer classes and Xerces have been deprecated. But unfortunately, there was basically an implementation part that was missing in Java 5 that didn't let this work right. So I couldn't rely on this then, basically last month. But, you know, maybe I do have an alternate way to do it. The problem is that I don't have as much control using this DOM implementation LS to do the output formatting that we did with Xerces. So I haven't had a chance to like sort of track down all the places where we're doing serialization and like how much it matters to us, whether or not, you know, we can do things like control line width and, you know, indent spacing and this sort of stuff. Because unfortunately I don't have that control with this form of serialization. So, you know, that's potentially a way that avoids this whole Xerces or Xerces derived form of serialization. I just don't know offhand. There are places where we're doing serialization of like the inline data streams for checksumming and whatnot. And I don't know that we've ever figured out sort of the way to canonically serialize stuff in such a way, and if we've ever mandated that so that we have to conform to that from here on.
Well, we have hit that topic before and agreed that eventually using there's actually a recommendation on XML canonicalization called C14N, XML C14N. And I mean, it seems like if we should assume that being able to canonicalize with, well, I would hope an existing library, if we can find a library that maybe doesn't hard code a dependence on a particular parser, that would be nice. But I think the as far as pretty printing, you know, indenting and such, I don't know that that matters so much on the server side. I mean, it feels like we shouldn't be modifying things on behalf of people as much as we can avoid it. Now that's a different issue for client applications, obviously, but it seems like the assumed requirement should be that it's possible to do XML canonicalization.
Well, I wasn't familiar with the C14N stuff, so I mean, I don't know what might be out there as far as existing libraries to do that. I mean, I did also look at just using XSLT to do the pretty print stuff, and there ended up being sort of enough edge cases, depending on what was in the XML, that I basically wasn't confident that I was going to, be able to cover all the edge cases in my transform. So I kind of, I have some code to do it, but I don't feel comfortable relying on that. And I'm wondering if, for as far as implementations of trying to do any kind of canonicalized pretty printing goes, I'd want it to come from I'd want to feel like it's been pretty well field tested, basically, because it just seemed like there were enough edge cases where things were getting caught. What are basically people's feeling on what are sort of the overriding concerns here? There's the permgen problem, which is evidently has been somewhat addressed. So switching back to Xerces, as far as we know at this point, until we test Tomcat 6, we don't know for sure, but switching back to Xerces presumably reintroduces that, so that's not terribly nice. On the other hand, it's also just as certain that WebLogic compatibility is now broken as of 3.3. There's potentially sacrificing. Then there's potentially solving both of these issues around WebLogic and the permgen, but then potentially sacrificing some issues around preprint. And I don't know if someone wants to put out yet another vector to think about this, but what are people's feelings basically about what ranks, as sort of importance in this decision?
The problem with the permgen is that it can pop up anytime with anything, basically. It's sort of a never-ending story until we've completed the move to OSGI. Maybe it's more important to get it running on a different web application series.
Yeah, I think as Kai mentioned, doing the dealing with the permgen issues across all libraries is we're lucky if we're able to nail it down in a couple, but it seems like it's going to continue popping up, and it's not the kind of problem that that really affects a whole large class of people. It's I think I remember the case where this was coming up was continuous restart or continuous reinitializations of the web app, the web app itself. And then when that happened many times, it would start to eat up memory because some of the libraries would be essentially duplicated in memory as it was loading them up. So priority-wise, I agree with Kai on thinking more about compatibility with multiple servlet containers maybe being the overriding concern here. But Kai, you mentioned something I wanted to hook onto, something about until we make the move to OSGI. Is this something that you just have a feeling that's going to probably go away because of class loading differences in OSGI, or have you got more detail on that?
As far as I understand OSGI, it's that the class loaders are pretty isolated. and that you can't have this complicated class loader hierarchy that allows for whole object graphs being referenced while they shouldn't. So from what I've read, if it's properly implemented, the class loader issues should be, or the permgen issues should be gone.
My understanding that is also that this is a Sun JRE problem that on some of the other app servers, JRocket might be used with
yes,
and on the IBM JRE is used, and I don't think either of them have the permgen problem.
Yes, they don't have the concept of permgen as a thing that just it can grow as much as it wants to. So it's not finite.
Okay, so I'm gonna take from this that, well, actually, what I'll do is I ended up pulling out sort of, you know, three different variations on doing XML serialization into a single class. So sort of depending on how we decided to go, you know, whether we wanted to continue using Xerces or switch to using the DOM3LS, or, you know, try using XSLT or whatnot. At least all of that was just in one place, and because we had a lot of sort of code, you know, XML serialization code duplication all around the code base. So I will maybe for the moment switch to using, I don't know, I'll have to make a call as to whether or not to use Xerces or the DOM3LS, but can do that for the time being, and I'll probably switch to using Xerces just since we know that aside from the permgen issues, that works. DOM3LS, like I said, I don't know what sort of side issues may crop up as a result of that. And then if we have a chance to sort of revisit the decision of whether or not to use Xerces versus DOM3LS, or how we want to do canonicalization, just generally speaking, then we can sort of, well, then we can reopen this part of the issue.
Is it also possible, or I mean, maybe not, but that the bundled Xerces with Java 6 is adequate for what you want to do, and you just stop bundling Xerces when we say that Java 6 is required?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, when I was looking at this, and then I swapped back to Xerces, and, you know, and I was looking at the Sun bundled classes. I mean, the whole thing was just another, it's sort of like, if it was going to make the time at sort of fixing this, I kind of didn't want to make the fix by using something that's now deprecated or, you know, advised not to use in the first place. So, I mean, that's why I started looking at DOM3LS anyway. And so I'm not really sure. It's like, unless we have to, or unless it's just too much work to do it in the end, I mean, I don't really want to use the JRE bundled, you know, COMSUN, whatever output format and serializer classes if we don't have to.
Hello, I'm still here.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like a lot of people still use Xerces, so depending on it, it seems to be okay still. And we have yet to find out what actual, if any, parser requirements a canonicalization library might have down the road. Being neutral seems to be good, but not an absolute requirement. But I do think it's important that we know that the parser that we do use is the one that is used by people in production too, whatever road we go down. But I'm comfortable with depending directly on Xerces, either in a specific version that we distribute or the one in Java 6, if we can make sure that that's that the way we use that is controlled or is reliable the way that we point to it.
I mean, it is odd that Xerces, they deprecated classes that we're using in Xerces, and yet there's not really, at this point anyway, a good, a really functionally equivalent substitute. I mean, there's like a functionally approximate substitute, but there isn't one that gives you a functionally exact one. And so, it's kind of an awkward thing if you're trying to avoid using these deprecated classes and yet, get done what you want to get done. I don't know if that's just sort of a timing artifact. And so, these things will change in the next, whatever couple of months, say, but, in any case, the general point that Chris just made about, wanting to have some more control over, say, the parsers or transformers that Fedora is using and that we're testing against. I mean, I think this is definitely a good thing to do. I mean, this was the cause of one of the other problems I had with getting Fedora to run on WebLogic, was basically because we were not forcing the use of Saxon, and all of our tests, basically assumed Saxon behavior. And one of the changes I made to the code base now, forces us to use Saxon, and I think that's a good thing actually at this point. And if we can sort of extend that pattern generally, I think that's going to make our testing that much more valid, basically.
Yeah. Okay, so you've got a pretty clear path forward then, Eddie.
Yeah. Oh, the next one's me too. Okay. Well, so this, as far as Chris and I were talking about this just yesterday, and I'll just bring this up really briefly since we're already on our hour mark.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. I was just wondering on the last topic before we leave it entirely. Isn't it a separation of two topics here? One is, what are we going to go forward with on XML, and a separate issue on PermGen?
Yeah. I really was more concerned on the XML serialization bit, and I guess I brought it up under the PermGen topic because I felt like I was potentially reintroducing a problem that was partially resolved.
I was just suggesting it might be clearer to me if these two problems were broken into two issues. Where are we going to go with XML parsing, and what are PermGen issues? Just as a suggestion.
Okay. Well, no, that's well taken. I mean, at least when I make my changes, I'll have a new issue open around it to track it against.
Sorry, I didn't mean to jump back.
No. So as far as the Fezzle code review that's on the agenda, so when Chris and I were talking yesterday about sort of the state of Fezzle, the ultimate migration that we want to be able to make from the legacy security code to Fezzle and how we'd get there, I mean, we still have the same sort of liability concern that we had previously, which was that this security code base is just not well known enough by enough people. I mean, so previously it was, I mean, we're in a better state now because at least there's a current committer who's somewhat familiar with the code base. But I mean, basically since Bill Nebel left, I mean, we haven't had anyone who really knew any of our security code base on board. But in any case, there's a few places that the SESL code needs some work. There's some stuff that has to be done before it's even in a state where we can really talk about doing a migration from the legacy code to the new code. So we thought it'd be useful for us to try to do a sort of a proper code review. I mean, as Chris pointed out to me yesterday, it's sort of something, you know, normally we would have done as part of the course of acceptance for new code, which we didn't do in this case. So, I mean, it's already in the trunk, but we're going to, I think it merits doing anyway. I think this is something that we think the committers at large, you know, ought to have some better familiarity with. So I think basically in the next, say, week or two, I'd like to put together a special topic meeting for FESL, and so that we can maybe, you know, stick with some fisheye and actually give it a proper review.
Yeah, I think that would be really good, Eddie. The big thing being having a little more mind share around the FESL code right now, which we certainly try to do as anything comes into trunk. I feel like we're not in a terrible situation right now because we haven't made, made the promise to the larger community that this is, you know, rock solid. But, normally before we get there, before we get where we want to go with FESL, we really do have to have it, and the understanding shared among more committers. In terms of the date for the special topic meeting, we were thinking about either next week, maybe, or the week after. Does anybody have any time constraints around that, or is this something that we could just choose either date and most people would be able to attend?
Next week's not good for me. Steve here.
I hear somebody really, really faintly.
Steve here. Next week isn't great for me, actually.
Okay.
I prefer the week after.
Okay.
Hey, sorry, I got dropped there after you said the date, Chris.
Oh, okay. I was querying the group on availability for this. Steve mentioned next week isn't great for him, so maybe if nobody else has any other restrictions, that we actually do it 2 weeks from now. Anyone else? Obviously, not everybody's going to be able to attend, but we'd like the majority of people who normally attend these to be able to make it. Okay, then probably a couple of weeks from now is the better time slot for that.
Okay.
Moving on to the committer meeting plans. So thanks to everybody who responded to the query on topic areas. I think we've come up with a good list of pretty important topic areas. And just to give the quick breakdown of what people responded with, content modeling got 70% of respondents said that was one of the top few topics. And then the next most popular topic was interfaces, which includes REST API and WebDAV. And then the ladder two. Well, actually, I went ahead and merged CMA topics with service definitions and deployments because they are, I think they deserve a bigger net to be cast around them, but they are, I think I have a feeling if we try to separate them too much, they're going to be, we're just going to end up talking about one in the other anyway. So, that one and, module architecture, were the latter two that, that were kind of tied in the rankings, or the latter three, I guess, at the time. But so it feels like we've got a pretty solid list here. I went ahead and put them on the agenda and just started fleshing out which day we might talk about what. Obviously, I'm open to suggestions on all this stuff, but I'm just kind of starting to put together a initial plans for the agenda. So I think if we assume we're going to have from 6 to 7 hours a day, then we can hit two major topics per day and have a little space for something specific to that day extra. So on Tuesday we do introductions, content modeling architecture, and module architecture, which includes OSGI and Spring type discussions. And then Wednesday we do storage and interfaces, and then finish it off with some stuff about who can help with what areas and how we're going to get it done and sort of start to strategize about what to do first and who's going to help with what. So I'd encourage all of you to take a look at this, and if you think of any shifts around, please let me know. But I'll plan on adding some more details to each of these planned sessions later. And I just wanted to give a quick note on the proposals too. So as I was putting together the poll, I realized that would be a good chance to solicit anybody who had sort of some thoughts about what they wanted to talk about to just start to sort of let me know that you want to have a section in one of these topics to propose something to the bigger group. So actually, out of that, I think we're going to have at least three proposals coming to this. I alluded to Aaron's earlier, and then I think we've got a couple others that folks are thinking about. So if you do, if it's not too late right now, so if you do have an idea you want to bring that fits within one of these topic areas, certainly let me know and we can make sure it gets on the agenda. I also moved the attendee list over and just got a few more details about who's confirmed, and it's now being tracked on the committer or the meeting page. So that's coming together nicely, I think. And Thorny has some details on our meeting location.
Yeah. thanks to Mark Hedges, I think we have a room. I haven't gotten the final confirmation, but they're pretty definite about it. We got a room in the South Campus of King's College, which is down by on the south bank of the Thames. It's right next to the Waterloo Underground Station. So it's not the best area to stay in for hotels, but it's very easy to get to. The room we got, it's a classroom, and it'll hold up to about 80 people, I think, probably in chairs. I hope it has tables. I haven't found out yet, but it definitely has a built-in projector and has lots of whiteboards. So I think we're pretty lucky to get it. I was not having a whole lot of luck finding other options. So this is, they're just sponsoring it as if it's for them. And I invited Mark to also, if there was somebody from King's who wanted to join us, that would be great, him or someone else. So at any rate, I'm going to probably early next week, I'll start putting together a logistics page that I'll add to this meeting page that has the information about the room and anything we have to do to get in there if we do. But I guess that's about it. But I'm really happy to finally have that settled, I have to say.
Yeah, me too.
I was getting worried.
Yeah. Well, Steve mentioned it's still cold in London, so, you know,
yeah,
we don't want to have to meet outside.
Yeah.
Hey, Thorny, did they say anything about Wi-Fi?
I think it's possible to have Wi-Fi. I got to double check on that. Mark, when we were first talking, there's one meeting room that's in the building of where Mark is in Kings, which is up in the Covent Garden area. And he said, well, that's not very good because you wouldn't have good Wi-Fi access. So I'm taking that to mean that we can get it, but I'm not positive. So I'm going to look into all that more, exactly what we've got there and what we'll have and what we'll need to round up ourselves. Like I said, by early next week, I'll put up a page and I'll send out an email, or maybe by next week's phone call, I should know some about that stuff. So I hope so.
Okay. What about, I don't think we have a sense of this yet, but I was thinking, since we're probably going to start off each day at 10 a.m., seeing if we could meet until 6, if the facilities are available until then, I think that would be ideal.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they would be. I will double check that as well.
Okay.
And as far as having I have gotten permission to buy 2 rounds at the pub for everybody at the end of the first day, but I'm looking into ways we can get funding to get a little bit more. So that's our fallback. If anybody has any ideas about who might help us with some cash to maybe have a dinner or bring coffee in, that kind of stuff. I can't get Mom to go that far. But anyway, she will let me put a couple of pints for each one of us on my credit card at the end of the first day. So I've got that commitment. So anybody has any ideas about that kind of stuff, let me know. Otherwise, we're on our own for lunch and things like that.
Yeah.
No, but there's places around that area. I mean, it's a pretty large campus, so there's a lot of possibilities for lunch and coffee, I think. So I'll be looking into that kind of stuff, too, and try to put some information on that page.
Okay. And I figure while people are on, I can verify. Steve, is Martin, do you know if Martin's going to be able to make it? I can't remember.
He's got it in his diary. I'll need to get a final confirmation from him.
Okay.
We've certainly got it in both our diaries. So.
Okay. And then I've sent out a few additional invites, but certainly if folks can think of people, there are still slots available. So, you know, invite anyone who you think would be good for this, for these discussions. So I've listed a few folks just so nobody re-invites them. So people who have said they can't make it and who's been invited. Thorny, also, have we heard back from the Sun folks yet?
No, I'm still waiting. I think we won't. I think the chances are slim that we're going to get anybody from them.
Yeah.
But we might, and I don't think it would happen before. I think it's on Thursday that Larry Ellison is doing his a presentation about what's happening with Sun and Oracle.
Oh, yeah.
So I wouldn't expect to know anything sooner than that, but
yep.
I don't know. Anyway, the invitation is out there. And what I hope, even with some of these invitations, like Lee Namba from Atos who can't come, I'm hoping that having them knowing about this is a way to get them connected up even after this meeting. So
yeah,
I think it's
exactly.
So it's useful to invite people, even if they can't come. We want people to start understanding we're looking for other contributors and even other committers. So this is a good opportunity to bring likely suspects into the fold here. So if anybody has any ideas, please invite them.
Absolutely. Okay. So I will be getting in touch with people, anybody who's submitted any possible proposal info to bring up at the meeting. I'll be getting in touch with you separately this week.
Oh, Chris, can I add one thing about
yeah.
hotels for those of you who are coming from out of town, which is most everybody? I got a hotel for about $75 a night, U.S. dollars, with free internet up by Paddington Station on Expedia. Apparently, hotel prices are very depressed in London right now, which is very good. So,
wow.
Look around, and there are hotels out there that are pretty cheap that have free internet. Up around Russell Square was another area I saw them, around Paddington Station, and around Earl's Court was another area. And most of those places have pretty direct access over to Waterloo Station on one underground line.
Okay, so Russell Square, what was the last?
Up around, also Euston Station area had some, and I found something up around Paddington Station area, which
okay.
has a direct line down the Bakerloo line to Waterloo Station. I think
so,
Earl's Court had some places as well. But I was looking on places like Hotels.com and Expedia, and I was finding, you know, under $100 a number of places.
Yeah, I stayed at one last time around the Euston Station area that was pretty cheap when I was out there for WAD last year. So that seems like a pretty good spot, too. All right. Just logging in the IRC. Okay. Anything else, anybody? All right. Well, thanks a lot, everybody. Talk to you next week.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
See ya.
Bye. The moderator has disconnected.